This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Table, otherwise known as Wall Street. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you are safe and sound wherever you hail from, whatever nook and cranny. Big shout out to our friends listening to us on KROS. That would be in Iowa. I love it. Got a lot of email coming that way. What do they say? Real reliable radio. That's a great slogan. Reliable. One thing that's not reliable, and I've said it all along, that's why you have to diversify. I'm not a financial expert. I schooled myself on finance, realizing when I had to roll over a 401k that, yeah, I got to learn a little bit more about what I'm investing in. And people always think that you have to have a whole lot of cash to invest in. That's not true. But you do have to pay attention. So pay attention to this. The Dow dropped 700 points on Monday. We're so used to not saying that. So I think it's negative news. We know that controls what happens on the street, and because of the pandemic worries with this Delta variant, and the stocks just tanked. Part of that was, you know, the faster spreading variants that might upend the recovery that we're seeing, the pretty strong recovery, frankly. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 725.81 points, specifically 2.1%. That number is big. Biggest decline since October. So there you go. Airlines and stocks of other companies that would be hurt big time by more restrictions took the heavy losses. So that's not a surprise, because you look at the early days of the pandemic and what happened to the airlines industry, right? And you think of the cruise industry and how much they've taken it since February and March of 2020. And so then several European markets sunk 2.5%. Asian indexes down a little bit less. So, you know, what was the sell-off? The sell-off is the variants. You know, when you have the announcements like Los Angeles County having to wear masks indoors, whether they're vaccinated or not, following the spike in cases and hospitalizations and deaths, well, that's the kind of news that drives markets. And because across the country in the U.S., the daily number of COVID cases has soared 20,000 over the last 2 weeks, from 20,000 to about 32,000. And really, the vaccine campaign is up against it, has hit the proverbial wall, with the number of those being vaccinated sinking to some of the lowest levels since, in fact, the beginning of the year, and cases are on the rise in 50 states. That's the kind of thing that happens. So now the question becomes, is Wall Street headed for a correction? Because financial markets have been showing signs of concerns for a while, but the U.S. stock market has been very resilient. The S&P 500 has had just two down weeks, which is crazy, in the last eight. And the last time it even had a 5% pullback from a record high was in October. So is it a little bit of an overreaction? Because when you look at markets that are record highs with the kind of run that it's been, I think it's the craps table. And you can mix in any elixir you want, but if it's tagged negative in any way, you're going to see a dip. And that's what happens. And of course, the market is under pressure, and even big tech stocks fell. Apple was down 3%, Microsoft 1.6% lower if you're following those. And then we'll see. It's like a roller coaster. Robinhood, the online brokerage that found itself in the middle of huge controversy, is going to go public with a market valuation of, ready for this, $35 billion. That's a story in itself, Robinhood, and the big name that Robinhood made for itself, and looking for $35 billion. Remember, they had they're the meme stock phenomenon. And that's a pretty big IPO number for them, I think. But it gives investors a chance to own part of what they say is a fastest rocket ride around. That they are absolutely not your traditional brokerage business, and they launched back in 2014. So they forced rivals, and it may have helped some of you to get rid of commissions and to offer apps to make trading easier and a little bit more fun. I mean, that was their whole thing. The whole thing was that it didn't have to cost you, and you could still have fun doing it. We'll see what that IPO looks like when that happens. So here we are, and we're looking at money, and as I mentioned, what happened with the stock market, and then the questions of what did we see happen when there was all this talk about a recession, and what a way to open this show, by the way. Once again, hope you and yours are doing well, but the recession caused by COVID-19 lasted only 2 months. The National Bureau of Economic Research said on Monday that economic activity reached a bottom in April 2020 and that the recession ended then. And that when the downturn started in March, and it ended the longest expansion in U.S. history at about 12 and a half years, the two-month slump was the shortest on record. So it means May 2020 marked the start of the current expansion. But it doesn't mean that the economy is back to normal. And you heard me just go into that whole riff about the Dow dumping 700 points. And what a way to start a Monday in that kind of way. All right, how about this? This is a first, so we'll announce it here, that, you know, we keep talking about January 6th and what happened January 6th in Washington, disgraceful, the footage of the riots. A Florida man, Paul Hodgkins, got an 8-month sentence. It's the first one of its kind. He's the first defendant sentenced on a felony charge. So he could have gotten more than that, but he pled guilty to obstruction of an official proceeding for interrupting the counting of the Electoral College votes. And he spent 15 minutes in the Senate chamber holding a flag supporting former President Donald Trump and taking pictures. He was all over the place. I mean, he was all over the place. Everybody saw his face in the pictures, and, you know, he was part of the group that got all the way in. So he's the first one. What happens with the others, we'll see. And by the way, they're still looking for people, and people are still calling the FBI with tips on different things that they saw posted in January from people that they somehow have a connection to. All right, coming up next, Darcy Cruz. Oh, Vienna, what's that about? We'll find out on the flip side.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back to school and off to college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college.
I'm pleased to take you to the UK to introduce you to Darcy J. Cruz, who is in our virtual green room right now, and her novel is called Oh, Vienna, and it is Oh, Vienna. So, Darcy, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to see you. How are you?
So let's talk about what led you to writing this book. How did this all happen?
This happened when I actually left my a previous life. I moved into my own little cottage. It was almost like a Goldilocks and Three Bears cottage moment, where literally the snow was falling outside, the Christmas tree was up, the fire was going, and my candles on the mantelpiece. It was the most perfect, picturesque Christmas for me. I'm a Christmas lady. And I went, oh, my goodness, I want to capture this. And that's basically how the whole, started the novel, because I like describing moments. And sometimes pictures don't always do it, if you understand. And as much as you want to write it, you need to start build something around it. And that's literally how we started.
When you decided to sit down and it was in your head and you wanted to write it, what was it like writing the characters? Did they just sort of pour out of you?
They did, because in a way I created, Vienna was just like bursting with so much energy that she wanted to be, she wanted to become this strong lady who'd been trampled on for such a long time. The other characters, there was James and there was Phil, and we had Benny the neighbour, they were all essential part of Vienna's journey because they were helping her discover certain parts of her life and herself. And also, they were interesting because I think everybody always picks those quirky characters in your life that you've experienced over the years. And believe me, I had some fun writing those characters into the, you know, they were good fun, really good fun.
I like that. They were really fun. And you told me off the air there were a couple different characters too. Like, you like Phil.
Yeah.
We're not going to give everything away, but tell us about Phil. What was Phil like?
Phil was quirky. Phil was a smooth talker. You know, the person just like wafts into a lady's life and almost like lights her life, lights her heart. And just goes, he has this charisma that goes, hello, I'm here. You know, it's sort of like the fantasy prince, you know, he's here to make himself feel good. And then he goes again, you know, it's that sort of like he wafts in, he wafts out. But when he wafts out, you can sort of feel those questions that Vienna had, thinking, well, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? But he's just like suddenly, he's sort of like, I'm here, you know, and he's just, he's a character where you don't need to, he flounces in. And he makes everyone feel good and smooth talks and he's quirky, he's a charmer. You know, he's got various scenarios around him. I will leave it there. But he just knows how to play the women. And he was just fun because with a character like that, you can just throw anything at him and he'll just okay. He was always carrying me at one stage. It was funny.
I like it. So we've talked about Phil and, of course, there's Vienna. And tell us about the book. So people are listening and they're hearing our conversation and they decide, hey, I need a book. I like what Darcy's saying to Kate. This is interesting about how she got down this road and what happened. And I can visualize some of this. What's the story about?
The story is about a lady in her midlife. Also mid-40s, in her fourth decade of her life. And I think it's where we all suddenly realise what we're all about. In the case that we're not worried about what other people are thinking anymore, you sort of like open this new leaf and you're thinking, right, I can now start again. It's about a lady who empowers her sexuality, her independence, her new lease of life, her new character. She, you know, she's been trampled on for such a long time in her previous situation. And all of a sudden, she's reborn, if that makes sense. So she's literally, oh my God, I've got so many adventures. And because she had she was very suppressed in her sex life, in her private life. And so she just literally opened the door, goes, okay, which way am I going to go? And that's exactly what she's about. But there's lots of twists and turns along the way.
I like that, twists and turns along the way. So what do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
I think for me, it's empowerment, it's confidence, it's reassurance that actually you don't have to stay with... When sometimes we get trapped in relationships or situations, you don't need to think, I can't get out of this, but actually you can. We have more power inside. You know, and when you put to the test, it's then you go, okay, it's now or never. So empowerment, confidence. Confidence for me is to say, I can, you know, she can do this. That she can go, I can do anything. You know, life isn't, I've got to go that way. You have the control, you know, you're not letting someone else control you. And also the fact is, life is what you make it. You know, we are our own universe, if that makes sense. You know, we have the way and the power to take anywhere, which way we want to take it. And this, to me, was like going, yes, I can do it. It was that sort of feeling of, I hope lots of ladies, and also the midlife crisis where people think, oh, you know, sex is over, the safe, you know, relationships are over. But actually, inside, you're thinking, well, where's the fun gone? You know, and this is where Vienna suddenly goes, well, is this all life is? And, you know, that's basically what hopefully ladies and men can take from it. You know, I think it works both ways. It's not just about women. You know, it's, although Vienna is obviously a lady, I think men can also relate to this as well.
Yeah, I absolutely think that men can relate to this as well. And definitely a lot of women can. I like how you say that you're not stuck. So that is definitely something that you take away from this novel, that you have freedom, you have power to determine your life, and nobody, you don't have to live under somebody else's rules for you or control or any of that. So it's just terrific, and we can't wait to see what's up next for you. Darcy J. Cruz, the name of the novel is Oh Vienna. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and it's lovely to meet you, and have a great day.
And you can get this on Amazon, by the way. Go to Amazon. All right. Thanks, everybody.
So interesting to have that conversation. A lot of people are reevaluating their life, and they have been for the 15 past months because of the pandemic. It's really made people think about all kinds of things, and what she is talking about there in her book, I think more people have shed some baggage, and more people have started to feel alive, while other people have felt like they're just trapped in all of this that's happening. All right, couple of moments here about travel. Number one, there's a pilot shortage, so it's the best time ever to be a pilot if you have those aspirations, because there's lots of openings. American Airlines, on the other side of things, recalled 3,000 flight attendants ahead of holiday travel because they see that they're canceling leaves because they don't have enough people. They have to get people back to work. Please, please, we beg you, come back to work. We'll give you all the peanuts and pretzels that you could possibly want. Why not? And American plans to hire 800 new flight attendants by next March. The indication is that leisure travel in the U.S. is recovering a lot more quickly from the pandemic than I think any in the airlines industry honestly expected. They thought people might still be a little they might still be a little worried about travel, let's say, and instead it's the opposite. So American offered long-term leaves of absence to flight attendants and other employees to cut costs because they were struggling with that incredible drop in travel when the coronavirus outbreak hit. Now it's, oh my gosh, we got to add people. It's like Delta. They have to add 1,300 reservation agents by this fall because there's long wait times on hold for customers who call in. They also need customer service and cargo and airport workers. So, and pilots, 1,000 pilots. I mean, hey, you got to have someone that can fly the plane, right? It's great if you have customer service. Not so great if you don't have pilots to fly you from one point to the other. And how about this? A world cruise by Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Their fares start at $73,000. You know what? Sold out in less than 3 hours. In less than 3 hours, the second they put it up, boom, it was gone. Now, I said world cruise, right? So they only have so many spots. This cruise takes off January 6, 2024 from Miami, Florida on the Seven Seas Mariner. And it's a five-month cruise. It goes 34,000 nautical miles. It goes to 66 ports, 31 countries, including destinations in Central America, the U.S. West Coast, Hawaii, South Pacific Islands, Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia, the Indian subcontinent, the Middle East. Wow. Sounds fun. Maybe. I don't know. I have never even taken a cruise. Whew. That seems like a lot of money, though. $73,000. But you're living on the boat for 5 months, all inclusive. All right, hang with us. We're going to talk about breathing with our next guest, deeper, better, and sleep at the tail end of the hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has moved to schedule a test vote for a bipartisan infrastructure bill this Wednesday. A bipartisan group of senators are still working to flesh out the $1.2 trillion framework of the proposal, but Wednesday's vote would be to advance a shell bill, with the finish work swapped in when it's done. A federal judge has ruled that Indiana University's requirement that students get vaccinated against COVID before returning to campus in the fall can stand for now. The ruling denies a request for a preliminary injunction of the policy while a lawsuit from a group of 8 students works its way through the courts. That suit arguing that the school's policy violates the 14th Amendment. And a Florida man has been sentenced in the first felony case from the investigations into the January riots at the Capitol. Paul Hodgkins was sentenced to 8 months in prison on a charge of obstructing an official proceeding. Hodgkins is one of more than 500 people who have been arrested for their actions during the riots. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. continues to see a rise in new COVID cases thanks to the more transmissible Delta variant. Health officials say that cases among unvaccinated people are rapidly increasing, with some calling it a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Dr. Jerry Faust says that while the vaccines do provide high levels of protection against the variant, the Harvard Medical School instructor tells CBS News that the virus will keep hitting the unvaccinated hard.
It's really a divide in this country at this point. For people who are vaccinated, they have an incredible amount of protection, even from Delta. We're going to see more and more data in the coming days about this. For those who are not vaccinated, it's worse than ever before. I believe this would be happening right now, even without Delta. But Delta just makes it that much more punishing.
And at least 6 people were injured Monday in Plano, Texas, after a home explosion. 3 people were hospitalized, but the extent of their injuries is currently unknown. The Plano Fire Department says the cause of the explosion is also not yet known, but says the blast also damaged 2 nearby homes. This is USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Conversation off the air with our next guest, who is going to talk about something I think is so vital, and it's made me more aware of the way that I'm breathing, and I think this will help you too. I mean, everyone listening can do this. So joining us now in our virtual green room is Rasheem Northington, and he's written a book called The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. Rasheem, thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
So you have an interesting background in this. Before you wrote this, tell us a little bit about what drove you in this direction, because of all the Chinese medicine you're familiar with, all the things that you've done in your background that led you to realize the importance of the diaphragm and what you actually learned from Kung Fu.
I'm sorry. What that?
So tell us about your background. That's all right. Tell us about your background and how it led you to writing this book. One of them was, of course, Kung Fu and what you learned through Kung Fu. So tell us about that.
Okay, yes. I trained in Kung Fu, Taoist Tai Chi Kung, for many years since I was about early teens, mid-teens, I would say. And it involved a lot of breathing type of exercises, and breathing was stressed to be the key to having power in this art. So the stronger your breath was, the more power you can obtain. That was the main focus of the training, and everything was heavily based on breathing and the breath. And that contributed to me later on about the nature of the diaphragm involvement with the breath. Understanding the breath. Go ahead.
Because I think, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that so many of us take shallow breaths. So you learned not to do that, right?
like in Qigong breathing, you are encouraged to take deep breaths, belly breaths, full breaths, a full conscious breaths every breath you take in the training. And that's the key to developing power, the deepness of the breath.
Yeah. And, you know, when we look at the diaphragm, the importance of it, of a skeletal muscle, it's the only right skeletal muscle controlled by involuntary unconscious or voluntary conscious nervous system, right? So so it's really an interesting thing to talk about.
Correct, because as the diaphragm is a skeletal muscle, which is supposed to be, like all other skeletal muscles are, a voluntarily controlled muscle, it's heavily controlled involuntarily, which is unique amongst all the other skeletal muscles in the body.
Yeah.
No,
I'm listening.
Now, that indicates how significant and important the function of the diaphragm is, the fact that even though we have voluntary control, the body actually dominates the control over our voluntary control in most cases.
Yeah, so when we look at this, why did you write the book? Because you realized how important it was with all the things that we just said?
Oh, yes. I think the last thing my Kung Fu teacher told me before he passed away was, do 300 breaths a day, kid. His exact words. And that stuck with me because I didn't truly understand what that meant. So I kept thinking about it. And I went back to the Kung Fu training and exercise that required breath in order to help achieve power from that exercise. I began to realize that I wasn't as good as I used to be when I was younger, and I struggled to breathe to maintain those sort of those postural exercises. And I noticed in order for me to be better at it, my diaphragm had to work harder at it. And then it started to make me realize, in order for the breath to get stronger, so does the diaphragm must get stronger, because the diaphragm is what controls the flow of the breath. And as the diaphragm gets stronger, so the breath can be deeper from a stronger or more full contraction of the diaphragm that can really only be done voluntarily.
Wow, so fascinating. And in the book you talk, you go deep into this. You tell us things to do, things to be aware of, all of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you and I, when we talked off the air, what led you to say, okay, I should write this book because I see how important it is that, you know, kid, take 300 breaths a day. What really drove you to saying, I think I need to tell people more about this?
Because I think at the same time, after my teaching about breathing, it was never taught or explained in relation to the diaphragm's function specifically. I mean, it's mentioned that the diaphragm is a breathing muscle, but then it says breathe, and the diaphragm itself is not really included in that category. So what I started to attain is that if we look at breathing from the scope of the diaphragm's involvement, I think the understanding of breathing becomes a little easier. And it starts to make more sense that if breath can't happen without the diaphragm, in order for us to gauge how strong a breath is, should be gauged by the strength of your diaphragm. And then I think that quantifies everything. It makes everything understandable of why I can only breathe but so much, because that's the limit that my diaphragm has on it. And if I increase the limitations on my diaphragm, then I can increase the limits on my deep breathing or deep breath. And I think if everybody understands it from that regard, things would be more easily attainable due to a greater understanding of how breathing works, and that the breath is really specifically controlled by the function of the diaphragm. And breath cannot happen without that function.
Yes, so true. And we're speaking with Rasheem Northington. The name of the book is called The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. I love the title, The Muscle Source of Life, because it is something I wasn't aware of until we had that conversation. I was, but I wasn't thinking about it. And I think that's what it is. We're kind of sleepwalking when it comes to breathing. Do you think so?
I think so as well. But the thing that's even more significant about the diaphragm's function, even though it's necessary for breathing, because the diaphragm is designed the way it is, upon breathing, it also does a whole lot more for the body than just breathing. Because breathing is not just the only thing we need for health and well-being. We also need a good circulation system. Not only does the diaphragm play a role in accessing oxygen and influencing the breath, it also is the key muscle to also stimulate healthy circulation in addition to oxygenating the body, which is also unlike any other muscle in the body because other muscles can have longer rest periods. The diaphragm does not have that luxury. The diaphragm must keep engaging, therefore keeps giving us the potential and option to continuously circulate the blood, independent of the other muscles in the body, which are very beneficial once they're engaged. But most of our lifestyle is sedentary. So in those sedentary sessions, like as in this whole conversation, the diaphragm becomes the major muscle source, in this case, for life and for circulation. That's very significant as well, not just for breathing, but blood return back to the heart, which gives the heart blood to pump back out to the rest of the body full of oxygen.
Yeah,
that can, the diaphragm.
Yeah, the continuous flow of air, that oxygen that you're talking about, and how critical of a component it is for the production of energy in the body, obviously, and to continuously have that flow of air, which is completely necessary, and is again what we're talking about. And how much better is your life improved? Which I think I'm answering my own question when you breathe correctly.
Well, they do say that abundant breath, abundant life.
Yeah.
Well, that's a saying I'm aware of. So the deeper you breathe, the more power you attain, the more you can in some way control your surroundings to help control your emotions. If you control your emotions, control your reactions to certain situations, you can also influence your own outcomes. So those are definitely beneficial things. And if you think words are powerful, along with deep breathing and powerful breathing and positive words, it could fruition just the way you want it to.
You know, and I'm thinking of you, Rasheem, that I know that you teach and you tutor a lot of subjects, math and science. So if I was in your class, would you make us take a deep breath, the real breath? I think that would be interesting.
I definitely would like to. The only thing is, you know, it'll just be suggestive, but, you know, people will still want to do what they want to do. But I definitely would also always mention and talk to them and just let them know that you have this voluntary option to take a full breath. Don't wait until you have to use it. Use it now so that you can prevent everything that happens to you before it becomes a situation that you must now. Just do it for the sake of doing it, and then it won't seem like it's a job, and it won't seem like it's a stress or strain to get it done when you can't, when you need to.
Yeah.
So that's the way I try to, you know, inform people of, you know, be aware of that, utilize it. There's a reason for that, and it just makes you feel better. And if you look on articles online, you can see that they explain how deep breathing always makes you feel better for whatever reason. It slows the heart rate down, it slows this down, it calms the nerve. Influences the parasympathetic nervous system. All those calming, resting, digesting, recovery type of systems in the body. So we don't have to wait until anything drastic happens. We could always be trying to maintain that state all day long as we can remember and consciously be aware of that.
Yeah. Yep. 300 breaths a day. I love it. And the name of the book, The Diaphragm, The Muscle Source of Life. Rasheem Northington, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Definitely appreciate it.
Delaney, we have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now, Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, she's written an important book, one that is definitely a game changer, I know, because it was something I thought I was getting, but I wasn't getting, and I bet a lot of you fall into this category. Anybody could read this. Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Dr. Smith, thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I know, I can tell you've had a lot of success, obviously, in your career. Did you get to that point where you just were not getting the kind of rest you needed?
Yes, I burned out. As you stated, on the surface, my career looked very successful. But I got to a point where, you know, it was all glitter and glam in the spotlight. But when I came home, I was exhausted. My attitude was not in a great place. My relationships were strained. And just mentally, physically, and emotionally, I was not in a good place.
So is that what led you to write this book?
It is. It led me to really the research first. And I really started the research on the process of, you know, what is resilience? How do we manage stress, as people say, which I believe is a bit of a misconception. But how do we at least are able to recover from the stresses that come into our life and get to a better place? So that started the research. And then my own patients kind of pushed the book out, because as I started working with them and seeing that so many of them were dealing with these very same rest deficits, and it wasn't something that was being discussed.
Yeah, it's interesting. the question is a big question. What really is rest? It's like when somebody tells you, oh, just get some rest, just relax. Is that rest? I mean, what is rest?
Well, I think what we have to realize is that rest, first of all, is more than just sleeping, because that's what many of us think. They think that rest is just stopping, the cessation of activity, laying down, and that's a part of it, but it's not the big picture. So when I looked at the research, what I saw was that rather than just putting all of our attention on the physical aspect of rest, which is primarily what sleeping does, that we needed to look at all areas of rest. And that's where the seven types of rest came from, the physical, mental, emotional, social, sensory, and creative, being those other areas of our lives that get exhausted. So, you know, when I was thinking to myself, I'm tired, I always thought, I'm tired, I just need to get 8 hours of sleep. But what happens when you get 8 hours and you wake up still exhausted? That's a real desperate situation, and that's when I realized there has to be more to rest than just stopping and sleeping.
Yeah. What was your big aha moment in all of this research?
I think the biggest aha moment was that when I just say that I'm tired, I'm actually setting myself up for failure. Because when I say I'm tired and I don't quantify and identify the area that's being fatigued, then I think any kind of rest will fix it. And the issue is, if I have an emotional rest deficit, going to sleep is not going to fix that. If I have a creative rest deficit, laying on the couch watching Netflix on Saturday is not going to fix that. So I have to be very intentional about doing those restorative type activities that will actually help to pour back into the place where I have the energy deficit.
Wow, I think you completely nailed it. You talked about the seven types of rest. Could you give us kind of a sneak peek, two or three of them, and what they are?
Well, the ones I think that were most interesting for myself were, and that I noticed that I had a deficit in, one of them was creative rest. That's a topic many people have never even heard of, a concept that's completely foreign. But if you're someone who does a lot of problem solving, has to think outside the box, be innovative, you're using creative energy, even if you don't consider yourself to be a creative. And so the way you restore creative rest is by allowing yourself to appreciate beauty in whatever form, those things that are inspiring and that are motivating to you. And so that could include anything from watching theater or going to an art museum or listening to music or watching someone dance, or it can be natural beauty like going to the ocean or looking at flowers or being out doing a hike where you're enjoying nature. And I think we don't appreciate kind of how those different processes actually help us to be more productive and actually help us to be more innovative. Another type of rest that we found that a lot of people were deficient in is mental rest. A lot of us are tired. We lay down at night to go to sleep, and we can't get our brain to turn off. And we really have to look at what are the processes behind that keep our mind so active. And then what are some simple things we can do in the middle of our busy day? Not go on a sabbatical, not quit our jobs, not take extended vacations, but things we can do in the middle of our day to help to build in mental rest and to help us to be able to stay in a healthy place.
Wow. And, you know, it's so interesting that there's as you said, what you uncovered, the different forms, really, honestly, of rest and the deep research that you did. You even have a free assessment at rest.com. And you're not surprised, I'm sure, but for you, this is so groundbreaking. It has to be rewarding to see the results of people reading your book, people working with you, and realizing the things that you learned. Is it?
It's been amazing. And yes, I think the most surprising has probably been the response to the free rest assessment at restquiz.com. We've had a 250,000 people who've gone through there and taken the assessment, and the emails we get and the clients that we work with, it's amazing to see the effect it has. I think some of the biggest surprises have been particularly in corporations that I work with, where we are kind of revamping their workforce because people are tired. People are exhausted. 2020 hit everyone really hard. And so there's a lot of people who are functional burnout. So they are still producing. They're just not producing at their highest quality and capacity. And so they're putting out work, but it's not really their best work. And it's interesting to see how many businesses are noticing this and then realize that there's something that is missing. And a lot of companies don't have, you know, chief health and wellness officers, but they would benefit from actually having someone come in and to help them evaluate the places where their workforce are actually experiencing chronic rest deficits. Because these are simple things that can really improve their overall productivity.
Yeah. Would you say, as a board certified internal, you know, medicine physician, in looking at the impact of wellness and what you found with rest, I mean, this has got to be like number one, I would say.
It's affecting people in so many different ways. From, you know, right now, some of the biggest, other than COVID, some of the biggest health issues we're facing have to do with cardiovascular disease and chronic metabolic states where people have high cortisol levels. And a big part of that is how our body responds to stress and change. And we've had lots of change. So we are processing a lot of stress and high cortisol situations. And most of us have not learned adequate coping mechanisms and strategies for being able to manage that. And that's why there's so much fatigue, and that's where there's so much talk about burnout. And really, that's why, you know, a lot of people are under kind of this chronic just anxiety and feeling just drained, because they're not restoring the places that are actually in need of rest.
Yeah. And you've said this, but it's worth asking this question. Your book is Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Ultimately, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
The number one thing is that rest is something that they must value, because I think we've gotten into a mindset that it's more important to work and grind and produce, and we've taken out an understanding that to be able to do that at our highest level of ability and to do that and still have a smile on our face and enjoy the work that we're producing requires a time of rest, recovery, and restoration.
Yeah, and you know this, is so many of us are people pleasers and don't have boundaries. You just got to find that somehow, right?
Well, that's a big part of the emotional rest, the people pleasing, the stress that comes. We call it performance stress. So a lot of people have a lot of a performance stress that they endure during their job, and they don't understand why they go home from maybe a job where they're seated all day, why they're so tired. There's emotional labor that you may be putting out during your day that you have not even accounted for. And because we are not looking at really how we're using every part of our body in our day-to-day work, then it really does set us up for so many areas of rest deficit.
Yeah. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. You can get it on Amazon.com and take the quiz, restquiz.com, and you'll see where you are, maybe have some deficits. And boy, just really powerful stuff. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Kate Delaney. We have Ashley Cantana with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.